much as possible, shall we kneel in prayer? Our Father in heaven, as we would a few of thy children meet this morning, we are truly thankful that we have this opportunity to come and to worship you and to hear thy word. Thankful, Father, that you provided this place of sanctuary from this world. And I pray, Father, as we meet this here this morning, that we'd leave the thoughts and the desires and the cares of this life outside our minds for a few moments and be able to draw our hearts and our thoughts and our desires in unto thee. I pray, Father, for the sick and the afflicted. For those that have the physical needs in life, Father, we lift them up unto thee, praying that thy Holy Spirit would be given. I pray, Father, for the emotional and the spiritual needs of thy people, that you would strengthen each and every one of us, Father. I pray forgiveness for our sins and our weaknesses. And as you look down upon us, I pray, Father, that you would look within our hearts and our minds and see those things that perhaps are amiss, and that by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that you would touch each of us, that we'd be willing to yield our hearts unto thee, Father, and allow thee to cleanse us and to sanctify us before thee. Praying, Father, that you'd help us to walk that path that you set before us. I pray for our families, that you would strengthen us, Father, that you would guide and direct parents in their decisions and their give them wisdom in raising their children, Father. And I do pray, Father, for the power of thy Holy Spirit to rest upon us, to give us that wisdom that we stand in need of thy Spirit to make our decisions. I pray for direction and discernment, Father. I do ask that you'd accept our thanks for your watch, care, and your protection, for the blessings you've bestowed upon us, that you accept our thanks for your Son and his sacrifice and for the hope of eternal life that thou hast given us. As your servant and our brother would stand before us this day, I pray, Father, that you'd give unto him of your Holy Spirit, that you'd open his heart and his mind and direct his thoughts and his words, that the message that you'd have for us this day would be given, Father. And I pray for those of us who will be listening, that our hearts and our minds would be open, that you'd open our ears unto thy words, that they'd be easy to understand, and that we'd be able to apply them to our lives to better serve thee and to better be able to overcome the powers of Satan. For we pray against him, Father. We pray against the enemy of our soul, praying, Father, that you'd even rebuke him for your name's sake. So, Father, as we now wait before thee, I do pray that thy Holy Spirit would be in our midst, that you'd bless us with the touch of thy finger, that you'd bless us, Father, today as we wait before thee. And I ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. I'd ask that you now give your prayerful and your kind attention to our brother Jim Yates.
Thank you, Ken. Good morning to each and every one of you. It is good to see you all here. It's good to see that you made a choice to come out of the world and rest for a while. And to be in God's presence. If your lives are anything like mine, it feels like you threw the candle in the middle of the fire and it's burning up totally. It's not burning at both ends, it's just burning. So it's nice to come out of the world for a while. To get not only the physical rest that we need, but to get the spiritual rest that we need. I feel for my own personal self that on a daily basis in the world I am attacked spiritually. And I'm constantly in warfare spiritually. And it's fatiguing. It's tiring. And it's good to see others make the same decision to come out of that hectic world and to come into fellowship one with another. And we're no different than those of old were. They had the same problems, maybe not quite as fast a pace, but the same things. They battled the same things. I'd like to start in Mark this morning, in the 6th chapter. We read about the apostles, and they had one of them few days or weeks, it sounds very trying. They went and received the body of John the Baptist after he was beheaded. And they were out teaching. So it was emotionally trying for them. And we read this in starting in the 30th verse of the 6th chapter of Mark. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So their lives were hectic. Their lives were very full, just as ours. And Christ told them to come out and go to a desert place and rest. You know, we've had those of our group have gone out into the desert to fast and to pray and to get away, to find some quiet time. So it can be a place of rest. It can be a place just to get away from everyday life so you're not under spiritual attack. It's a place that you can go and sit and think. But the thing about the desert is it's also a place of danger. So if you're not being prepared for what you're going out there for, you can still put yourself into jeopardy. If you're wanting to get away and you invite 15 other people to go with you, are you achieving the purpose that you need? In this case, no. You know, in the 31st verse, it said there was no leisure or time to eat. So they were just probably at a dead run until they were so physically exhausted that they came to their mats at night and they crashed to get up to the next day to do it all again. And when I read that, I was reminded of what David wrote in the Psalms. The 46th Psalm. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." By coming here to this place, we can leave the things behind. We leave those things out the door and we can come and sit and be still and know that God is. We need that place. We need that place to get out of it, to allow us to check our armor and to heal our wounds so that we can turn right around and get back into the battle of everyday life and the spiritual battles that are around us. There are other reasons why we need a place like this. Let's turn into Samuel. 1 Samuel. The 12th chapter. Starting with the 6th verse. And it's Samuel speaking and prophesying to the kingdom. And it says, "And Samuel said unto the people, It is the Lord that advised Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore, stand still." Stand still. Don't be busy with the day's activities. Stand. Be still. "That I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers." We need that time to come and stand still. In the Book of Mormon, in Alma, 17th chapter, it's on page 141. Where Samuel told him, he says, "Come and let us reason one with another. Let's come to a conclusion." Alma puts it forward a little bit better, straightforward to his son Helaman. Starting with the 66th verse. And this is through the foolishness of preaching that we can reason one with another. "Preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus. Teach them to never be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart. For such shall find rest for their souls." This is the rest that we get here in our physical being by being here. The rest for their souls here is what we earn after death. But we still can come and find rest and be restored within our souls. "Or remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God, yea, and cry unto God for all thy support." That we can come, and like I said, through the foolishness of preaching, to be strengthened and to be taught, to be reasoned with. What's another reason why we need a sanctuary, a place to pull apart from the world? Let's turn over into Moroni, the 6th chapter, page 762. Just reading part of the 6th verse. "And the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray, and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls." We need that. We need that strength from each other. The world's not going to give us that support. We can have friends in the world, but they will not give us the support that we need to come and be still and know that God is. Let's go into Isaiah. Christ is calling out. I say Christ. It's the Lord of Israel. In the first chapter of Isaiah, in the 10th verse, we find out who's speaking here. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sidon. Give ear unto the law of your God, ye people of Gomorrah." Then turning over into the 17th verse, reading to the 20th verse, learn to do well. Learn to do well. Where in the world can we learn God's way to do well? None. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be as red as crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Do you seek judgment? We should. Would you seek the judgment of God that we can humble ourselves before Him before we become compelled to do so? Let's turn over into Alma, the 16th chapter. 422. We read about some people that were compelled to change their ways and be compelled to be humble. Starting in the 134th verse, Alma speaking to the Zoramites. And now because you are compelled to be humble, blessed are ye. For a man sometimes, not always, but sometimes, if he is compelled to be humble, seeketh repentance. If we seek God's judgment, we will repent before we're compelled to do so. For now surely whosoever repenteth shall find mercy. And he that findeth mercy and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now as I said unto you, that because you were compelled to be humble, ye are blessed. Do you not suppose that they are more blessed who truly humble themselves because of the word? Because of the word of God. If you judge yourself by the word of God and repent, you are more blessed. Yea, he that truly humbleth himself and repenteth of his sins and endureth to the end, the same shall be blessed. Yea, much more blessed than they who are compelled to be humble because of their exceeding poverty. Therefore, blessed are they who humble themselves without being compelled to be humbled. We are to judge ourselves. We're to ask God to judge us and show us where we have erred, that we may repent long before we let ourselves go so far astray that God corrects us and compels us to be humble. That's another reason why we need this quiet time away from the world, a quiet time to converse with one another about the welfare of our souls, to come apart and just to sit and ponder upon the things of the Lord and to know that He is God. David in Proverbs makes this statement in the 17th chapter, the 10th verse. A reproof endureth more unto a wise man than 100 stripes to a fool. Because we have made the decision to come out of the world, I classify us as wise. That we can sit here and hear the word the Lord taught, that we can reproof ourselves, that we can take the word and bring it into ourselves, that we can judge ourselves. The world won't classify us as wise, but the Lord does. The Lord classifies as wise. And how much more blessed we would be. In John, Christ said it this way, the 14th chapter. If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. If you love the gospel, you love Christ, you are willingly being obedient. And willingly give yourself over to his enticings. Willingly allow yourself to be reasoned with. Willingly allow yourself to be humbled. Willingly change your lifestyle to be one of his children. We have many stories within the scriptures of men such as this, of people that willingly gave up things, willingly changed their lives. We also have stories of those that were compelled to change. One of those was Paul. He was compelled to change. And we can read the scriptures that he was mightily blessed because of it. Can you imagine the powerhouse that he would have been if he would have believed up front and had not had to be compelled? Let's read in 2 Corinthians some of the things that happened to him. The thing that I learned as I've read about Paul, and I read some of his writings, is that he became content. He became content to be in the presence of the Lord. He became content to live within the grace of God in no matter what condition he was in. Ask yourself, are you content? Are you content in no matter where you are, to allow your light to shine? Or do you want to put it under a bushel basket and hide that light? I'm not talking about wanting to better oneself. I'm not talking about striving to achieve a goal. But what I'm talking about is during that achievement, are you content to tell people who and what you are? You chose to come out of the world today for rest. Do you choose to tell the world who you are? In 2 Corinthians, in the 11th chapter, starting in the 24th verse, Paul talks about some of the things that happened to him. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with a rod. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have been in the deep. And I don't know if that's in the deep of a dungeon or deep in the hole of a shipwreck. I could not find out what he meant by that. But it must have been a dark, damp, lonely place. In journeying, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watching, often in hunger and in thirst, in fasting and in cold and nakedness. Read over that again. 5 times he received the lash, 39 lashes. 3 times he was shipwrecked. 3 times was he caned or beat with a rod. Once he was stoned and left for dead. And yet in all that, in all of his imprisonment, what did he do? He used his suffering to glorify God. He was content. Not with his condition of what was happening to him physically, but he was content to glorify God. I hope today you find contentment, that you'll be willing to glorify God in any condition, at any moment, any space of time. This is why I say he found contentment. Let's turn over into Hebrews. The 12th chapter. The first verse, the second verse. Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that was set before us. He was content to keep pushing forward, even in his hardships, to send letters. All the letters that we have from Paul were sent when he was in prison, after some physical hardship that he had. He still had time to write and to send things to strengthen others, that they might find the same faith that he found in his God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, For who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, depressing the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Paul's eyes, after he met him on the road, never left Christ. He stayed with him. He worshipped him. He proclaimed him. He was a man that was content with the work that was set before him by God. He was content with the grace of God and willing to share it with all. I have traveled through this faster than I thought I was going to, but I would like to close with a scripture out of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, the 16th verse. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways, see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Do not be one of those that will say, we will not walk in the old paths. The scriptures are old, because God doesn't change. Seek the old paths and stand still in them and know that God is, and find rest for your souls. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Let's close with the use of 135. 135. Thank you. bow our heads. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this time that we spent before Thee, we're thankful for Thy presence. We're thankful for the gift and the power of Thy Spirit in our lives. And I pray, Father, that we would so order our lives that we can overcome this world, that our hearts and our minds truly would be righteous before Thee, and we'd be those instruments in Thy hand that would be pleasing in Thy sight. I pray now as we would go our separate ways, that Thy Holy Spirit would abide with us, that You'd keep us safe from harm and from danger, that You would hold us in Thine arms, and that our hearts and our minds and our thoughts would always be drawn out unto Thee. For I ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you, sir.